your business is sponsored by American Express Open. American Express Open is committed to helping businesses turn their best ideas into reality so they can say yes to their best ideas and get business done.
Good morning, everyone. Coming up on MSNBC's Your Business, the owner of a Seattle sandwich shop reinvents the convenience store model to meet the millennial lifestyle and build support for local businesses. Our experts provide some small biz hacks that can attract customers on Small Business Saturday. And this vetrapreneur is helping other vets find jobs that can utilize the skills they learned in the military. Let's grow fast and work smart. That's all coming up next on Your Business.
Your Business is sponsored by American Express Open, helping you get business done.
Hi, everyone. I'm JJ Ramberg, and welcome to Your Business, the show dedicated to helping your growing business. In Seattle, we met one entrepreneur who's taken her great-grandfather's old-school business model, the corner store, and updated it to fit the millennial lifestyle. It's got a wine bar, coffee baristas, and locally sourced handmade gifts. This entrepreneur's already got three neighborhood locations in Seattle, and just like another local Seattle business, Starbucks, she told us she's got big plans.
Puget Sound Kombucha Earl Grey or Coconut Lime. Yeah, it's really good. We focus a lot on community here, and that opportunity to come and have somebody say, hey, how's it going? And really mean it. All of that is what creates the opportunity for me.
Danny Cohn is the owner of Cohn & Steiner, a small chain of three convenience stores in Seattle.
I've been in the service industry my entire life. And one of my favorite things about the service industry are those relationships that you form literally over the counter.
For Danny, the community focus or shop local idea isn't just limited to her relationship with her customers.
We believe in creating opportunity on all sides of the counter, which means with our team, with our customers, and with our vendors. This isn't the Danny Cohn Show. This is us.
For her largely urban millennial customers, small batch, locally sourced products are a big draw.
So many of the products are surrounding us in this store that we're sitting in have roots here in Seattle. Shopping local gives all of us a chance to grow.
In fact, she sees her shops as a three-way growth opportunity. For manufacturers who get shelf space, for shoppers who get unique products, and for her stores, which get a reputation for offering these kinds of hip goodies.
We support them, but in that way, they also support us. We have unique access to some of these products because of what we do, because that's part of our values and part of our business model.
Danny is providing an incredible service.
Erin Nelson is head of Seattle Made, a local manufacturer's advocacy group. She sees an economic impact in what Danny's doing.
There is an exponential multiplier effect in terms of the amount of money that stays in the community when you are having local retail, local manufacturing, employing local staff.
Danny's expanded vision of shop local doesn't stop with her customers and vendors. It also extends to her neighboring storekeepers too. Here at the Pioneer Square store, she opened the wall between her store and her next door neighbors.
How's the week been so far?
They both say the customers love being able to pass through from one place to the next. And at the Capitol Hill store, there's a wide open passageway between her shop and the next door bakery.
They let us use the walk-in. We store our excess ingredients over there. We have a really nice relationship with their staff.
They give us cookies.
We use their bathroom. They use our bathroom. Yeah. Customers just flow back and forth. It's really nice. Customers that weren't aware of Cohn & Steiner see it through the window and vice versa.
While Danny is very focused on developing her own community, she is quick to tell you that she has not lost sight of her own bottom line.
I mean, it's a business. In a for-profit business, if our business model is not viable and successful, then I can't create jobs. I can't create that shelf space for local vendors. I can't create a community place for people. I can't do any of these things.
With Seattle as her hometown, Danny says she's got a great example of a shop local success business model.
Everybody starts from somewhere, right? Starbucks started somewhere. It happened to have started here. So shopping local can lead to huge, and it's not about just help out a little guy over here.
Danny's business is not very huge. it is very local.
I'm from here. I am local. My family is from here, who also have businesses here.
When Dani talks about her local roots, she's not kidding. This store might be only a few years old, but its ancestry goes way back.
It's based off my great-grandfather's grocery store that was here in Seattle about 100 years ago.
Just like her great-grandfather, who built his business to serve his neighbors, Dani's flagship store is located just a block and a half from her home, and less than half a block from her first business, a coffee shop she still owns and operates called Fuel. And her customers get it.
I think it brings it back to kind of that vintage feeling of going to the soda shop or, you know, just knowing the store really well and feeling comfortable in it.
With a coffee bar, pastries, sandwich station, fresh produce, clever gifts, candies, and a wine bar, Dani's mix of products and services stretches from breakfast till way past dinner. And the model seems to be working.
We're taking that model and bringing it into today for the modern consumer.
I live in an apartment upstairs around the corner, so I actually come here quite frequently to pick up a couple things on the way home from work or if I need anything for dinner.
Coming here to get to my wife a birthday candle and card, and I see people here having a pint of beer, and it's a nice community area.
It's a nice place just to relax that's quiet and not too crowded, and the atmosphere is good.
Well, I think of like a little tiny grocery store, but with other accessories, and there's tons of stuff here, a great variety.
For this reason, Dani also sees her store as an updated version of 7-Eleven.
Our sales per square foot are in the same range as 7-Eleven. We believe that this business model is, like I was saying, kind of the 7-Eleven for the modern consumer with an eye to more quality, specialty, and local.
What makes her shop local business model work? Dani says it's her commitment to the community.
This isn't a new and innovative idea. This is what my great-grandfather was doing 100 years ago when he came to this country and was seeking community. This is the kind of store he created, and that's what was created there, community. That's what we're creating, is that place.
Small business owners are going to be doing all they can to get customers to shop local this Small Business Saturday. So what are some things you can do to maximize your sales on this kickoff to the holiday shopping season? Reva Lisonsky is the founder and CEO of Grow Biz Media, a custom content and media company. And Barry Moltz is a small business consultant. You can find him online at barrymoltz.com. Together, Reva and Barry are also authors of the upcoming new book, Small Business Hacks, 100 Shortcuts to Success. So good to see you both.
It's great to see you.
All right, Small Business Saturday. This is our day, right? This is our Christmas.
We'll wait all year for.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about what owners can be doing now. And one of the things you say, Reva, is think about that online listing.
Yes, you have to claim your local listings and claim them in all the search engines. So you claim it in Google, you claim it in Bing, you claim it in Yahoo, whatever there is. But also think about what your business is, and you might want to claim it in Yelp. You might want to claim it in TripAdvisor.
How do I claim it for people who don't know?
You go online and they all have forms you can fill out, or mm-hmm. A company will do it for you. The forms are free. So Google's not going to charge you to do this, but you have to be painstakingly correct. So you can't like list your address as street and spell it out in one and ST abbreviated in another, because you have bots who are making the connections and they don't connect.
And by the way, the reason to claim this, right, you might be thinking, oh, people are just coming to me anyhow, but I know that when I look for something online, I look at those hours.
That's right.
Yes. Especially during the holiday season.
So the stats are actually 82% of smartphone users who are looking to shop somewhere locally go to a search engine to do it, and 72% of those end up in a store within 5 miles of where that person lives.
Got it.
So
okay.
That's why you have to do it.
Okay. Barry, let's talk to you about prospects. When we think about prospects not responding to us, generally I think that's sort of a B2B business.
Right.
But you say think of your big ticket item customers as prospects.
A lot of people go into places where they're going to buy a car or a couch or a piece of art, and you actually get the contact's name, the prospect's name, and then you reach out to them, JJ, and they never respond to you. So we have a hack in the book. It's actually hack number 51, is how to get these prospects to respond when they won't. And it's called the ABC method. And you send an email. It's very simple. It says, quick favor, please reply A, B, or C. A, I'm still interested, contact me right away. B, I'm still interested, but contact me in a week. And C, I'm no longer interested. And you'd be surprised, 95% of the people actually get back to you with A, B, or C, and then at least you have an answer and you can move on to someone who really wants to buy from you.
And this is a good thing to do now before Small Absolutely. Business Saturday, so you get them thinking maybe the actual purchase will be made yeah. on that Saturday. This gets also to the point of loyalty programs, because it's yes. all about reaching out with your customers.
It really is. You're in a competitive environment today. Why should somebody shop with you small when they can go to a department store, maybe get more done at once? So it's about creating loyal customers, and the way to do that is create customer loyalty programs. And we're not talking about the old buy 12 sandwiches, get the 13th one free. There's a lot of companies out there, Belly does it, where you can join up and they'll create this program for you. But it's about getting information on your customers. Sometimes it's about you bought this, maybe come in and do this. It's about telling them, oh, Small Business Saturday, you have their name, you want to market to them. Look what we have in the store just for you. Oh, you're a loyal customer. We're going to give you an extra discount if you come shop with us that day. But if you don't have a formal program, you have no method or process in which to reach out to your customers.
And should businesses, actually I know the answer, be teaming up with other businesses in the area?
Of course.
So in what ways?
Well, I think that if you can have any kind of joint promotion, that really helps, because then you're going to a larger audience, so you have more of a chance of attracting a customer that may be interested in this retail store and you're right next door, they'll come to you as well.
And the real issue is, right, Small Business Saturday is the kickoff.
Right.
So make an event of it. Get people in your door.
Right.
And then if they don't buy anything, then you still have the whole
right.
holiday season.
And this holiday season, this one, we have an extra shopping Saturday. I just wrote about this on.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So there's an extra day of shopping. So you want to establish that. And when you get them in on Small Business Saturday, make sure you say, hey, come back in 2 weeks. We're going to have this really special thing. And again, incentivize them to do that so they come back to you and not go somewhere else.
Yep. And the good part about the holiday season is people are already predisposed to buy now.
Right. Yep.
So you have them right where you want them.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. I was at the store the other day. You should have seen my shopping cart. And I'm not even a real consumer, but still piling stuff
right.
in for the holidays. It's
right.
not even
right.
Thanksgiving yet. All right. So good to see you both. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a great Small Business Saturday.
Thanks. Thank you too.
Employee health care is one of the highest costs that businesses pay every year. Here are five ways to use wellness programs to save on health care.
One, educate your employees. Engage and empower your team with information that they can use to improve their overall health and well-being on their own. Two, focus on disease management. Programs that remind people to take their medication, schedule checkups, and otherwise stabilize their current conditions can help keep your employees out of the emergency room. Three, find a partner. Work with hospitals or health professionals to create the best short and long-term wellness programs. Four, invest in lifestyle management programs. Initiatives like fitness competitions and smoking cessation programs can cut costs in the long term by preventing at-risk employees from developing costly illnesses. And five, measure your program success. Wellness programs can be a great resource, but if no one uses them or they're not working, they are a waste of time and money. So pick some metrics and keep track of them to see if your program needs to pivot.
As we prepare to celebrate Veterans Day this week, we're mindful of how difficult it can be to make the transition from combat zone to an office building. For many returning service people, the process can be overwhelming. And that's where this veteran entrepreneur saw his opportunity to make a difference.
We're dust-off aviators. We flew medical evacuation, and we picked up the wounded. You don't know if you're going to get shot at. You don't know if you're going to be able to land. You're flying into this hot LZ, and sometimes you're just throwing people on board, and then you're trying to treat them as best as you can en route while you're pulling the guts out of the helicopter.
Anthony Garcia Jr. is a veteran of the Second Iraq War. He and his team repeatedly flew into the line of fire to rescue wounded soldiers. The Army trained him to do the best you can.
There was definitely things that you can't get out of your head, you know, things that you wish you could unsee.
Amanda Willett is an Air Force veteran. She and her team cared for those wounded. At war, they were celebrated hard chargers. But back here at home, things were just plain hard.
We're trying to change the way that the United States of America views the veteran. Most of us don't have PTSD. It's just we're getting used to having our freedoms back.
Today, Anthony is the co-founder of an Oakland, California-based tech startup, Guide On. He's making it his business to change those civilian perceptions.
They have always viewed a veteran as somebody who's broken or somebody who needs to be retrained or somebody who just doesn't have the skills to succeed in the private sector.
Anthony says that's ridiculous. And 2 years ago, he put his money where his mouth is. He built a business around getting vets adjusted, particularly focused on helping them find jobs.
I never wrote a resume while I was in the Army, and I had several different jobs, and I was in there for 8 years. I never had to network or sell myself. You don't know how to explain what you did in private sector terminology.
I was the PL for 3rd FSM&T, part of a medevac company, working in RC South in Province Zabul, part of ISAF, as part of OEF.
Tell that to a hiring manager, and they'll probably give you a blank stare. But Tony Garcia Sr. knows what that means.
So you were the 3rd team leader of a particular department that worked in a regional area that was, in some cases, in very dangerous territory.
And so Guidon takes that military speak and translates it into something civilians can understand.
So these are the top skills. They have a long list of skills. We're only showing the top 9 here.
Tony Garcia Sr. is CIO of Guidon. He's a retired lieutenant colonel, a behavioral science PhD, and he's also Anthony's father.
What I do is I take a look at all the military assignments and positions. We examine each one of those positions, translating the duty titles and then the performance statements.
Tony's translations have now been converted to drop-down menus.
But if I wanted to edit this, I could actually go in and get some resume writing tips.
These allow vets to upload military records, choose civilian equivalents, which can be fitted into a civilian resume template.
An E5 sergeant or E6 staff sergeant in the United States Army, they're very well suited to be a line manager or a line operator in manufacturing and running and leading a team.
Guidon is more than just a resume tool. It's a modern tech business with a social network linking vets to recruiters and to other vets also adjusting to civilian life.
I know a lot of people kind of downplay what they're feeling and try not to, or maybe pretend like it's not an issue, but I think anybody who's been over there and seen those things, I don't know how it could not affect you.
Amanda says that when she returned, Guidon not only helped her get into business school, but also helped her cope.
You're just used to this ops tempo, going over there, very high intensity. And so it's like once you get back home and everything's quiet and then you can kind of process what really happened, that's when it kind of hits you.
It's designed for a service member to come to the community and discover all the possibilities out there that can help them advance their career.
Today, they have corporate partnerships and the support of the military, but the philosophy of the company comes straight from basic training.
Don't sit there and complain about it. Do something.
When we come back, more great advice for business decision makers, including how to grow your company in new ways without alienating your existing customers. And the inspiring Bonnie St. John on how business leaders can remain focused and upbeat in the face of adversity.
How would you increase revenue without alienating your existing customers?
I think the essential thing about increasing revenue without alienating your customer is to think about why your customer is with you, the central mission of your business. And so if you have those fundamentals, it's really easy to add other services if you're in the service business, or other products if you're in the product business, or whatever business that you're in, sort of things that are authentic to the mission, tangential to the business, but not way off base. And so if you keep your customer engaged in the, you know, central mission of your business, you will be able to add revenue by adding other parts to your business.
We now have the top two tips you need to know to help you grow your business. Let's introduce our panel and get their advice. Loveleen Sidhu is the co-founder, president, and chief strategy officer at BankMobile, a completely digital bank. And designer Jay Godfrey is the founder and CEO of Jay Godfrey. Good to see you both.
Thank you for having us.
All right, you both have been through this. You started as founders, you're CEOs, you have built these very impressive businesses. What do you say to people who say, I need one piece of advice?
My secret sauce really is daily goal setting. I get to the office every single morning, and right beside my desk is this leather-bound book where I focus on daily goals as if I've already achieved them. And they really focus on three things: healthy, wealthy, and wise. And in each category, every single day, I go and put a goal that is way beyond reach. It really allows me to focus and really target what my main priorities are every day. If they don't have anything to do with those goals, forget it. I'm not interested.
And are these goals for the day or goals for the month
these
or the year?
These are big goals. To give you an example, healthy, wealthy, wise, there's a goal in there to run a half marathon by 2018. So it forced me to register for the Miami half marathon at the end of January. Wealthy, I'll say to myself, oh, I would like to get my business to this much profitability by 2019. And wise, read 35 books in a year. So things like that.
And do they switch every day?
Sometimes they switch, sometimes they get bigger every
day.
But
read 36 books.
That's correct. But it allows me to really, really
focus.
Think, not big, but huge.
Right, got it. All right, lovely.
Yeah, for me, being an entrepreneur, I think it's so important to focus on creating a superior product, but you can't end with that. You can have a great product, but if you have no customers, it doesn't matter. So my strategy is have a great product that addresses a need in the market, but then make sure that you have a very clear, sustainable, strategic customer acquisition strategy that's going to get you where you need to go.
Well, it's interesting, right, because there was this point in time where people said marketing isn't important, your product will be its own marketing. It's so great. People will spread the word. This is what happened with so many products.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's the product is the beginning.
Yeah.
It can get you your first customers and some word of mouth, but
yeah,
you do need some acquisition strategy.
No, I 100% agree. And I think it's across the board, but definitely for banking, because there's credibility, there's trust, there's security that people care about. So if you're a no-name brand coming out, they're going to be like, no, thank you. So you really have the inertia fighting against you too, because people are like, I'm used to my bank, it kind of sucks, but it's okay.
Yep.
I'm gonna just stick with them. So we found a way that through distribution partners that we could just have a few of them and get access to millions of customers, and that has really been our way to get high volume, low cost customer acquisition.
And that's the best way, right? Because then you're not marketing one-to-one-to-one, you're marketing one to many.
Exactly.
All right, great. So good to see you both. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
One online tool that we use is Upwork, and Upwork is a website that features a wide variety of freelancers from all over the world who have different skills and services, everything from advertising to technical skills, software, IT, graphic design skills, as well as services such as virtual assistants.
One app that we use is called Calendly, and it allows customers and vendors to gain access into my calendar directly without me having to assign an assistant to manage my tasks and my schedule for me.
One site that I use is Retail Path. It is an amazing site that is run by a woman named Vanessa Ting, and she is a former Target buyer, and she's got great resources on there, everything from marketing to how to communicate with the retail. And it's just got a lot of resources that are very difficult to find in the industry, all in one place.
As we go about our days at work, there are 1,000 things coming at us, and any of them can throw us off. The thing that makes them not throw us off is called micro-resilience. At least that's what it's called by Bonnie St. John, who is our guest. It's so good to see you.
Thank you.
And I love talking about this topic with you because there is nobody more resilient than you. You've experienced so much in your life, and here you are.
When I was at the Paralympics, I was the number one ranked skier going into the second run of the slalom race. And I thought, I can win this race. But as I was going down the hill, I fell.
And I was so disappointed. I thought, oh, my chances are over. But my training was always to finish the race. And I jumped up and I got over the finish line. When the dust cleared, it turned out I was still in third place. I still won the bronze medal.
So there was something that got you up again.
But what happened, what was really interesting about that is the woman who won the gold medal in that race, she also fell. It wasn't that she didn't fall. So when nothing went wrong in the first run, I was the fastest skier in the world. But in the end, she got the medal because she was the quicker getter-upper.
Got it. And that's what your book is all about, is how do you become basically the quicker getter-upper, right?
Exactly.
Like, how do you bounce back faster? And so you've taken all these ideas that you kind of innately know in your own life, right? You just have it in you. Talk to scientists. Yeah,
it's not necessarily innate, too.
Really? So one of the things you talk about is labeling. What does that mean?
This is so simple, is when you're getting hijacked emotionally by things that other people are doing. You can have a difficult call with a client. You can have a deadline that moved, and you're getting hijacked, and you're feeling threatened and upset. Research from UCLA on neuroscience brain scans shows that you can calm your brain down just by using words to describe what it is you're feeling. And so if you just say, you know, I'm angry, or I'm upset, or I'm feeling betrayed, or, you know, just putting labels, and you don't have to do it out loud. You can just be doing it in your head, and it actually changes what's going on in your brain scan, and you can be calmer.
You know what's funny? I've done this thing since I was little. If I do something where I think I really messed up or I'm really embarrassed and it's really bugging me, right, and I just can't get over it, if I just admit to myself that it happened, right, of what it is, but pretend like, oh, I just messed up a speech and I embarrassed myself in front of 1,000 people, if I just say, I just embarrassed myself in front of 1,000 people, it somehow goes away, right?
It's like not... you say, okay, it happened, and you can move on.
Got it. Okay, and you talk about a zone, getting in the zone, is it?
Well, or research shows that one of the things that really drains us and overwhelms our brain is multitasking. Mm-hmm. And we can't stop. I know, you're laughing.
I'm basically texting while I'm talking to you here.
So we can't end that. But what we can do is create sort of islands in the stream. So we talk about zones as like an island in all the stream of communication. Because if you can close a door or go somewhere, let the people know you work with, I'm going to have some concentration time, things get done faster.
So this is a zone to do whatever it is you need to do.
Let your boss know, hey, I got to deliver these results for you, so I'm going to carve out this time.
And micro-resilience is just about basically steeling yourself. And these are the little things that just prepare you. Prepare you so when you fall down on the ski run, you get up faster than the other woman.
Exactly.
All right. Well, this is so helpful. Thank you so much, Bonnie. Great to see you.
Thank you.
This week's Your Biz Selfie comes from Lori Kaplan, longtime owner of Bra Tenders right here in New York City. She's been providing beneath the scenes, as they call it, undergarments for Broadway actors for 3 decades. Now, why don't you pick up your smartphone, take a selfie of you and your business, and send it to yourbusiness@msnbc.com or tweet it to @msnbcyourbiz. Include your name, the name of your business, your location, and don't forget to use the hashtag YourBizSelfie. Thank you so much for joining us. Last week, I was in Bulgaria, where I was a panelist for an organization called Endeavor, which supports high-growth entrepreneurs around the world. And I met entrepreneurs from everywhere, from Turkey, from South Africa, from Egypt. It was so interesting. But what Endeavor really strives to do is create these ecosystems in cities where there aren't ecosystems of entrepreneurship. Now, here in the U.S. and a lot of cities, we're lucky because it already exists. And so I suggest to all of you, if you feel like you are not in an ecosystem of people who are growing businesses, whether you're an entrepreneur or running a division of a company, you should get into one because it is so incredibly helpful to meet people who are trying to do things just like you. And I don't mean have the same kinds of products as you. I mean sort of the same stage in your company as you. Now, we'd love to hear from all of you. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, email us at yourbusiness@msnbc.com. You can also click on our website. It's openforum.com/yourbusiness. We posted all of the segments from today's show, plus a whole lot more for you. And don't forget to connect with us on all of our digital and social media platforms, too. We look forward to seeing you next time. Till then, I'm JJ Ramberg, and remember, we make your business our business.
Your business is sponsored by American Express Open, American Express Open is committed to helping businesses turn their best ideas into reality so they can say yes to their best ideas and get business done.